Good morning, good evening, and good afternoon to anybody and everybody listening, no matter what time zone you are in, and welcome to NBA Clutch Time, presented by the Playmakers Radio and hosted by yours truly, Yasha the Beast. Listen, I said it once, I said it before, I'm going to say it again. We're going to get right into it. So, first things first. What we are going to do is we're going to look at a certain individual. That individual's name is none other than Zion Williamson. And I think that we start realizing Zion is the real deal, man. He is. His team's struggling right now. And that's okay. He's still young. He's still going to go through that. That's cool. But that Zion dude is a beast, man. Zion is nothing to be played with. And I think it's about time that we start acknowledging that. Like, in this season, he's averaging 27 points per game. 7 rebounds, almost 4 assists, right? But let's really look into that. Let's really take a look at this. Let's start off by talking about the fact that he's averaging 27 points on almost 62% shooting. 62% shooting. And lately, he's been using this little shimmy, this little turnaround fadeaway, and it's looking mighty nice. Mighty nice. But let's dig a little deeper. Let's also look at the fact that he averages under 3 turnovers a game. So not only is he one of the best or most efficient, if not the most efficient scorer in the NBA right now, right? Like, his efficiency is off the charts. But he's doing it while averaging under 3 turnovers a game. And that's something that needs to be something that really needs to be looked at. Like, his offensive rating is a 114.6, defensive rating 114.5. So he's middle ground, you know, right there. Like, his offensive rating and defensive rating kind of cancel each other out, right? I find it hilarious that people don't talk about Zion. Like, I find it absolutely hilarious that people don't talk about Zion. Listen, this dude has a 65.4 true shooting percentage. His usage rate is at almost 29%, which is high. And I'm not entirely sure why people don't talk about it. Right? Like, there's so many people out here who love these advanced analytics and stats and whatnot, but they don't talk about Zion. And you would think that a player that has his metrics would be like, oh my God, this is going to be an analyst's wet dream. But they don't talk about him. The Pelicans need to hurry up and do something. And they need to hurry up and make sure that they put winning players around Zion Williamson. I don't feel like Isaiah Thomas got a fair chance. He didn't play enough minutes. He didn't play enough games. That's just my take on it. And it's okay if you disagree. That's cool. But also realize that of Zion's almost 27 points per game, right? Only 22% of them, of those points, under 1/4 of those points come from the free throw line. Only 3.5% come from the 3-point line. .44% of his scoring is unassisted. The other 57.6, you know, it's assisted. And that's okay. But his first year in the league, unassisted, he was only at 23.8. He needed people to feed him the ball. Now he's at 42.4. He's almost doubled his field goals made without assists. I think that's kind of crazy. He's a second-year player shooting 62%. And out of that 62% that he's making, 42% of it is unassisted. Excuse me? Like, that's unheard of. Like, that's, we gotta be real, man. That's ridiculous. He scores 33% of his team's points. So, on a roster, on this New Orleans Pelicans roster, at least, let's look at everybody who gets burned. Zion Williamson, Lonzo Ball, Josh Hart, Eric Bledsoe, Nikhil Alexander, Najee Marshall, Willie Hermer-Gomez, Steven Adams, Brandon Ingram. That's 10 players for sure that's gonna get burned. Zion scores enough points on that team to cover almost 3 extra players. He's still 284 pounds. Remember when everybody said Zion has to lose the weight? Zion said, I'm going to kill y'all this weight because I'm still fast with it. I still have a really good handle for my weight. And on top of that, I have floor vision when I need to use it. Zion Williamson is scary. And I can't wait for him to explode. Like, we think what he's doing is great now. Just wait on it. Mark my words. Wait on it. I told you guys to wait on it with Julius Randle. Now look at him. The Knicks are 33-27. I'm not sure if you guys realize this, but this is the first time since 2013 that the Knicks have a winning record more than midway through the season. It's time to throw a parade, New York. You're finally out of the gutter. You finally found somewhat of a savior. Now, I'm not saying he's going to save the whole franchise, but at least he saved y'all from that funk y'all were in. His name is Julius Randle, and I told you about him from day one. I will never stop quoting Kobe on what he said. He has Lamar Odom's skill set in Zach Randolph's body. Kobe told y'all how good this dude was, and you didn't listen. You didn't listen. And I mean, let's be real here. Like, people wanted to, you know, kind of overlook him because he's shooting 46%. For a big man, it's not a great percentage. So what? He's averaging 24 points. He's shooting 41% from the three-point line. He's shooting 81% from free throw. He's averaging 10.5 rebounds with 6 assists. Excuse me? The nerve. The nerve. His offensive rating is a 109.9. Yes, it's not extravagant, but his defensive rating is a 106.8. Pretty good. His assist ratio was the highest on that team. Assist percentage and per game. 6 assists per game with a 27% assist percentage. His assist ratio was 20, for God's sakes. On his team, out of 100% of his team, he dishes out 20% of that 100. That's one player. Look, I'm not here to sit back and make it look like the guy is the greatest thing since sliced bread. But when you are doing what Julius Randle is doing, then it's like, come on, something's got to give. Yeah, I eventually have to start giving this man credit. Think about this. For a guy who's averaging 24 points per game, 29% of that are from three-pointers. And that's just for not the actual points, just the attempts. His points from three is 27% of his points. Free throws only make up 20%. You want to hear something even funnier? From the three-point line, he's also a catch-and-shoot guy. Listen, his three-point field goals made that were assisted, his assisted three-point field goal made is 81%. Now, his overall field goals that are unassisted is 54%. He can create his own bucket. We know that. He can create his own bucket. But from the three-point line, 81% of his three-pointers made, which he's a 41-plus percent a three-point shooter. Think about that. That is super elite. Y'all do realize that's in the area of Steph and Seth Curry, right? That's how good Julius Randle was shooting from three. He's shooting like Kawhi and Paul George and Steph and Seth and Damian Lillard. That's how good he's shooting from 3-point this year. And Donovan Mitchell and Michael Conley. He's shooting as good as them. And he's a big man. This episode is not going to be about the stars. This is going to be about the players who deserve the star's name, the star power, the star credibility. This is, come on. Come on. Whenever y'all are ready to admit that this dude is really the truth. And on top of that, think about this. We're 59 games into the season for the New York Knicks. Or for Julius Randle. In 59 games, he played 2,212 minutes. Last year, when he played 64 games, he played 2,080 minutes. The year before that in the Pelicans, when he played 73 games, he played 2,232 minutes. This is what happens when you give him more playing time. You get this monster 37 and a half minutes a game. And he's torching. Just torching people. I think there's something to be said when it comes down to Julius Randle. And it's that he is a basketball player. He is showing that Kobe wasn't lying when he said Lamar Odom's skill set. Because Lamar Odom was the type of player who could go out there and get you a triple-double if he really needed to. We already know there were times where Lamar Odom was able to average, you know, damn near 10 rebounds a game. Where Lamar Odom was able to put up 5 or 6 assists per game. Where he's had games where he gets 10, 11, 12 assists. Like, Lamar Odom was nasty at passing the ball. He was a great left-hand scorer when he needed to be. And we know he definitely had the arm length to rebound. This dude is crazy. Next person we're going to talk about, Jimmy Butler. So y'all know Jimmy is averaging 21-7-7, right? Y'all know I've been told y'all at the beginning of the season, give Miami a chance to recover from their injuries, right? Y'all know that the Miami Heat are 31-28, right? Despite starting the season as one of the worst teams in the East, they now have a 31-28 record. And newsflash, they're looking like they're ready to take the East. Here's some well-roundedness for you guys. Here's your well-rounded stats for the day. Jimmy Butler, 21-7-7. Bam Adebayo, 19-9-5. Tyler Herro, 15-5-3. So, the next time somebody decides to count the Heat out, just remember, they got guys that can score, they got guys that can pass, they got guys that can rebound. And they're all the same guys, by the way. Miami Heat games get very ugly. Yes, I know what I said. Yes, I will say it again. Miami Heat games get very ugly. And it's okay that nobody's going to talk about it, but somebody needs to talk about it, because they're not going to be high efficient games. They're not going to be high scoring games. They're going to be low scoring. It's going to be a lot of defense, so low efficiency. Not a lot of 3-point shots more often than not. But guess what? They know how to win. It's all that matters. And I'm not sure about y'all, but the Jimmy Butler I saw last year in the playoffs, that Jimmy Butler was scary. That Jimmy Butler was real scary. That Jimmy Butler was spooky. That's the term we gonna use. That was spooky. Check this out. Jimmy Butler this year is averaging more points. He like think about it. Point and a half more off of a shot and a half more off of a make and a half more. Right? It does not stop there. While shooting less at the free throw line, he's shooting a higher percentage at the free throw line. While grabbing more rebounds, while getting more assists, while averaging less turnovers with more steals. Y'all gonna tell me that ain't spooky? And this was the year he started off injured? And y'all gonna tell me that ain't spooky? His offensive rating is a 110. His defensive rating is a 105.9. Y'all gonna tell me this not spooky? His assist percentage is 36%. His assist to turnover ratio is 3.45. Ain't y'all gonna tell me that ain't spooky? Like, for real? Are we really gonna pretend like it's not? Are we gonna face facts and be like, yo, that's crazy? I just want to say it again. His assist to turnover ratio is 3.45. The dude averages 7 assists with only 2 turnovers. LeBron averages 7 assists with damn near 4 turnovers. Jimmy Butler is the most underrated, unappreciated player of the last like 10 years. Y'all remember when y'all said that the Chicago Bulls was good strictly because of Derrick Rose? But then Derrick Rose got injured. And it was Jimmy Butler's time to step up. And Jimmy did a pretty good job of doing that. Y'all might have forgotten. I didn't. I don't forget great shit. But to each his own. To each his own. But I'm going to tell you one thing. If I don't tell you nothing else, I'm going to tell you this. Miami went from being like 13th in the league. I mean, in the East. To now being number 7. The New York Knicks are now number 4. And it's looking pretty spooky. Remember that I told you that. Remember that word. Spooky. Just remember that I told you that. Don't let nobody else tell you that they told you first. I said that. Spooky. Now, when are we going to be, when are we going to start talking about this bad man named Kyrie Irving? I'm just wondering. Because I think it's about time that, you know, we start talking about him. I know I said that this is not going to be dedicated to the stars. And trust me, it's not. But I just got to put something out there. Y'all were talking about how, oh, you know, the Brooklyn Nets were winning games without Kyrie when they had KD and Harden. Oh, the Brooklyn Nets were winning games when it was just James Harden. Well, let's take a look at something real quick. And I just really want y'all to pay attention. When Kyrie Irving plays, the Brooklyn Nets are 29-13. If you're not going to pay attention to anything else, please, just please pay attention to that. That is extremely important. And I'm going to tell you why. Remember how everybody was like, oh, James Harden for MVP. Well, Kyrie Irving, oh, because remember, they tried to say, oh, Kyrie Irving missed games since the end of third. James Harden played 34 games this year. Kyrie played 42. How come he's not getting any MVP love? Just out of curiosity. Like, let's take this for example. Okay. The game against Charlotte. Kyrie plays. Kevin Durant plays. Kyrie only gets 12 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, but he also got 3 steals. Kevin Durant got 25-11. Right? Pretty good. I mean, Joe Harris had 26 as well. And the Nets walk away with a victory. No James Harden. Just the other night, the Brooklyn Nets go against New Orleans Pelicans. No James Harden. No Kyrie Irving. I mean, Kevin Durant. My apologies. Kyrie Irving goes 12 for 19, shooting 63%. 43% from the three-point line, 83% from the free throw line, getting 32 points, 8 assists. His plus-minus somehow was a minus 5. I find that that's completely ridiculous, and that's also why I tell you guys I do not believe in that stat of the plus-minus. Nor would I ever. The Brooklyn Nets barely lost against the Miami Heat the other night. Kevin Durant only got to play 4 minutes. Kyrie had 20 points, 9 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks, 4 rebounds. Kyrie was not efficient this game. But Lord, you're not going to tell me that is not a great, well-rounded game. Especially going against Miami Heat. You're not going to be efficient against Miami Heat. They just don't allow it. It's not going to happen usually. And that's okay. But with no James Harden, and with Kevin Durant only being able to play 4 minutes, Kyrie said, I'll make sure that it's at least close. He made sure to make sure. If I tell you one thing for sure, two things for certain, Kyrie made sure it was close. But let's take a look at something. In terms of points per game, Kyrie Irving leads the Brooklyn Nets. In terms of steals per game, Kyrie Irving is tied for the lead of the Brooklyn Nets. In terms of assists per game, Kyrie Irving is second on the Brooklyn Nets. In terms of free throw shooting of all eligible players, Kyrie Irving is the best free throw shooter with 91% of all eligible players. Remember, 2-point field goal percentage. Once again, all eligible players. You want to hear something funny? Like, you legit want to hear something funny? Kyrie is the only small guy in the top 10. Are we not seeing how this is scary? We don't realize that he's shooting 51%, 39 from 3-point line, 91 from free throw line. Imagine averaging 27 points, getting in the 50-40-90 club potentially this year. Sounds a lot like Steph Curry, don't it? MVP, Steph Curry. You know, that unanimous MVP year? Yeah, Kyrie's having that. And nobody's going to give him any votes. Nobody's going to get him any votes. And it's whatever. You know, you don't have to. But one day, when Kyrie is gone from the league, you guys are going to miss him. And you're going to come back to this episode and say, wow, Brandon told us that. Yasha told us that. Enjoy the showman while he's giving you a show. Because when the show's over, you're going to want an encore. Coming up next, ladies and gentlemen, I'll be going over the power rankings with you. After a brief moment, I'll return shortly. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. And we are going to get straight into these power rankings. No need to beat around the bush. I think that these standings are going to be very accurate. Once again, I come up with them and... once again, this does not reflect all of the opinions of those of the Playmakers Radio, but it certainly reflects mine. So, number one, of course, still the Utah Jazz. Why? Because they're still surviving without Donovan Mitchell as the number one team in the league. That's why. They're 6-4 of their last 10. They're without the best player on their squad. And they're still on a 2-game win streak right now. But I mean, their record speaks for itself. They're 44-15, for God's sakes. What more can you ask for? Number two, the Phoenix Suns. And boy, them Suns are hot. Listen. They're 8-2 of their last 10. Chris Paul is the point guard. And we just need to accept the fact that Phoenix is just, they're going crazy. Devin Booker needed a floor general who could defensively lead a team while offensively distributing the ball. That's what Devin Booker needed. I always said that Devin Booker was going to need a point guard who was smarter than him. Well, that means he either needs a Rondo or a Chris Paul. And Chris Paul's commanding, yes. But commanding versus demanding is different. Rondo's demanding. Chris Paul's commanding. Number three, Los Angeles Clippers. They are 9-1 of their last 10. And boy, them boys looking scary. Like, they're going out winning games without Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. Marcus Morris is out there killing people. Luke Kennard is out there killing people. It's just like, God, man. Every night it's like, all right, whose turn is it now? Got to applaud it. Number four, the Philadelphia 76ers. They are doing great. They're 6-4 of the last 10. They are on a 2-game losing streak. And in all honesty, sometimes I really question on if I want to put them there. But the fact of the matter is, of their last 10 games, they've done better than Brooklyn. Barely, but they have. Now, with that being said, right after that, number five is the Brooklyn Nets. They're right underneath Philly. They both got 39 wins. Brooklyn just has one more loss. James Harden, you know, has to get certain things reevaluated. You know, Kevin Durant is coming and going out of games. Kyrie Irving is just being a consistent killer. That for some reason, people only want to talk negative about. But it's okay, Kyrie. You got people like me who understand and who has your back with this situation. Kyrie for president. Number six, the Denver Nuggets. Denver has been doing, well, Denver things. They won their last four straight. They're 8-2 of their last 10. They're doing everything right. They are doing everything right. They're 8-1 their division, by the way. Like, they're literally the only team in the league with only one loss in their division. Now, the team underneath them is the only undefeated team in their division. And that's the Milwaukee Bucks at number 7. The last 10 have been shaky. They're 5-5. They're on a 2-game losing streak. But nonetheless, they're still 35-22. Why Giannis isn't getting more MVP talks is beyond me. I don't know. But it's okay. People are going to watch. People are going to learn. Number 8. Los Angeles Lakers. Now, they've been struggling, 5-5 in the last 10. And, you know, Lakers just got Andre Drummond, who, you know, I feel like he's still trying to find his Laker legs. I'm not here to rush him. Like, I'm a Laker fan, but at the same time, it's like, you know, it's different. Right? And you just got to accept it for what it is. We have no LeBron James, no Anthony Davis right now, who's actually going to be coming back tomorrow, today, technically. But it's, you know, it's a thing, right? Where, you know, for certain teams, you just got to get your legs under you. Now, number 9, I have the New York Knicks. Yep. New York Knickerbockers have won their last 8 straight games. There's no reason for me to put Portland ahead of them. Not right now. They're 8-2 of their last 10, won 8 straight, 4th best team in the East right now. New York is just, well, I mean, you heard what I said about Julius Randle earlier. The addition of Derrick Rose was extremely solid. RJ Barrett is doing pretty well. Alfred Payton is contributing. This team is getting it together. Mitchell Robinson, well, we see it. This team is Miami Heat plus offense. They're not as diverse as the Miami Heat. They don't have the leadership of Miami Heat. But in terms of offense and defense play, they are Miami Heat with better offense. I would love to see the Heat and the Knicks go at it in the playoffs. Listen to me. That would be the best playoff series of probably the last 5 years. Like, the last time we've had playoff series, that would be as hard-nosed fought as what that series would be. It would be the 2016 Conference Finals and the 2016 NBA Finals. Those 3-1 comebacks by both Steph and the other one by LeBron. Both amazing series. And I'm not saying that this would be a 3-1 comeback type of situation. It would just be one of the best battles in the playoffs that we've seen for a long time. And I think Jimmy Butler versus Julius Randle would be amazing. I mean, that's not the matchup we're really going to get. The matchup we're really going to get is Bam Adebayo versus Julius Randle. But nonetheless, you know, in terms of one team star leader versus another team star leader, it's going to be Jimmy Butler versus Julius Randle. And I think that would be absolutely amazing. Sorry if that was long-winded. Next is the Portland Trailblazers at number 10. Portland is Portland, you know. Middle of the West. Solid team. I told a lot of people over the years, if Carmelo was to ever grow his hair back and get the braids back, oh, you're going to be seeing... You won't be seeing them flashes of Denver Carmelo. Yeah. Yeah. And that's exactly what we seen. Hoodie Melo was great. We know it. But you ain't allowed to wear a hood in the games. You can wear them braids, though. Welcome back, Melo. That's the Melo that we know. Go ahead, keep on getting them 25-point games. Go ahead, keep doing it. Number 11, I got the Dallas Mavericks. They're 5-5 of their last 10. 31-26 overall. Not too much to talk about. We already know what we're getting with the Dallas Mavericks. Luka Magic is a thing. Chris Porzingis, we already know, is a very solid player. But I think overall, there's still some adjustments that need to be made on that roster to make Dallas a strong contender. I really think to myself, like, who would Luka need next to him? And I feel like now, as time progresses, the answer is a player that he probably will never be able to get. But I feel like Luka needs a Kawhi. Luka needs a guy who can play offense as good as him, scoring wise. Who can play defense better than him or lead a team on defense. So he needs a co-leader on offense, a leader on defense. And Luka can just rally the troops and be the showman and be the show. But he needs a productive player who is not productive, but star productive on both ends of the floor. That's Kawhi Leonard. Like, he's going to need either Kawhi or Giannis. It's that simple. Atlanta's number 12. They're 32-27. And you know, they're 7-3 over the last 10. Atlanta really just seems to be getting it together. There were some culture changes, that was made, you know, through the season. And Atlanta just seems to be getting it together, man. Like, that, there's no other thing to say except for good job. Number 13 is the Boston Celtics. Now, Celtics have kind of been going through it. You know, some of their players haven't been playing certain games. You know, other players have been, but there's not enough time. It just seems like they need to work on a couple of things. But lately, they've been getting it together. In the last 10, they're 8-2. So lately, they've been picking it up and showing the world, we are still here. Don't count us out. Number 14 is the Miami Heat. They're 31-28. And overall, you know, like I said, Miami is just, they're coming along. You know, and they just need their players to just rest up and get healthy. You know, once I said it before, I'll say it again. Once that happened, it was just like, oh, you know, don't you forget who Miami Heat was now. Remember, they were not a top-seeded team last year when they made it to the finals. Jimmy Butler's about them upsets, man. Number 15, I got the Memphis Grizzlies. They're 29-28. You know, very 50 percentage. It was really 51%, but, you know, nonetheless. Golden State Warriors. It's number 16. They're 29-30, which is 49%. Steph is acting like an absolute madman out there. I think somebody needs to call, a psych ward and just, you know, tell him to chill out. Get a tranquilizer dart or something for him. They're 6-4 of their last 10. But, you know, let's be real. And I'm not here to celebrate losing records, right? But Steph is doing all that he possibly can. At least from what we see. you know, number 17 goes to Charlotte. They're 28-29. Number 18 is the Spurs, who are also 28-29. Both of them are 4-6. Both of them lost their last game. They're neck and neck. It's just, you know, Charlotte is in that race in the East. San Antonio's kind of on the outside looking in on the West. That's all. That's the only difference. Number 19. The Indiana Pacers. They're 5-5 of their last 10. And, you know, they're in that process of trying to get things back together. After that, we have the New Orleans Pelicans, who are 25-33. Brandon Ingram is a phenomenal player, phenomenal scorer. Lonzo Ball seems to have been, you know, getting himself together for a little bit. And, you know, his jump shot turned around. His percentages turned around. You know, now he just needs to work on that killer instinct, that killer mentality. Washington Wizards is at 21. They're 25-33. They're 8-2 of their last 10. They won 6 straight, which is great. But it was just like, you know, getting Russell Westbrook, it just wasn't not panning out the way that you thought it would pan out. You know, going to go get a recent former MVP, putting him next to Bradley Beal. And then, you know, they're still losing. It's just like people are going to sit back and say, oh, you know, Bradley Beal isn't this, that, and the third. And I'm one of those people, right? I don't really like Bradley Beal that much since he and John Wall stopped playing together. But nonetheless, I will say that, you know, scoring-wise, it's just like, you know, you got to be able to stop him. It's hit and miss is the best way I can put it. But like I said, when you got Russell Westbrook, it's just like, come on, man. Like, you were MVP in the league just a few years ago. It's like, you would really think that this team would really improve with having Russell Westbrook, but it didn't. Next, you got the Toronto Raptors, who are 25-34. They're 6-4 of their last 10. Chicago, 4-6 of their last 10. They're 24-34. Sacramento's 24-35. Right, and they're 2 of their last 10. They won. Cleveland is 4-6. And by the way, Chicago's number 23. I'm sorry, let me go back down. Washington's number 22. Chicago's number 23. Sacramento's number 24. Cleveland's number 25. Oklahoma City's number 26. They're 20-39. Not really much to talk about over there, except for the fact that, you know, they're 0-10 of their last 10, which is absolutely horrible. Orlando isn't far behind. They're 1-9 of their last 10, and they rank number 27. Detroit has absolutely nothing going for them. They're 18-41 and number 28. Minnesota, same thing, who is 29 with 16-44. And Houston Rockets are dead last, and they've been dead last ever since they, you know, they really got bit in their butt about letting go of DeMarcus Cousins. They let go of DeMarcus Cousins so many games ago, and they have not won a game without him, or they have not won much games without him. You know, he was 11-11 for the games that he played with the Houston Rockets, which is, you know what, like, what is that, like almost 30 games ago, where he was giving life to that team when he actually got burned on the floor, right? It was like, yo, DeMarcus really, he's really turning up, but then they got rid of him. And it was like, oh, okay, well, that sucks. Right, but then, you know, the Clippers go and get him. And I think they're just letting him heal up some and rest up some so that, you know, they can really have him just rip off and show what he can really do. Christian Wood is a very solid player. John Wall, I don't think he really lost it. I think he just needed a year to go and get it back. But nonetheless, it's not enough to bring the Houston franchise back to what it was with them James Harden days. It's not going to be enough to bring it back. But I will say that having DeMarcus Cousins was something that made this team, you know, extremely better than what they are now. Now it just seems like they have absolutely no identity. And, you know, it is what it is. So Houston takes the 30 spot for dead last. And that will be it for tonight, ladies and gentlemen. I want to, you know, thank everybody who take the time out to listen to this show. Once again, I know it's, you know, better things in life that you could be doing, or more productive things in life that you could be doing. But the fact that you, you know, you take out the time to listen to what I have to say, I am very appreciative. So I want to say I love you to the people that listen to the podcast. And thank you for your support. Also, let's, you know, keep on chanting and fighting and protesting in the name of, you know, social justice, and making sure that, you know, people of color are getting the treatment that we deserve when it comes down to making sure that, you know, people are held responsible for killing us more often than not. A lot of cops have been getting away with killing black people, and we're just tired of it, you know. Let it be anybody else, they would be incriminated. And cops are, you know, paid to uphold the law, but also protect the citizens in the city and state of which they serve. We help pay their, you know, put money in their paychecks, put money in their pocket. The least that they can do is serve and protect all of us equally, as they get paid from all of us equally. So with that being said, you know, we deserve the same, you know, love and respect, and protection that anybody of any other color would be receiving. You know, on that note, I'm once again going to say goodnight to everybody. Stay safe. Much love. And I will talk to y'all very soon. I'll be reaching out. For any questions, like I said, you know, multiple times before, you can definitely find me on Facebook. I'm Brandon Burrows Yasha. Or feel free to reach out to the Playmakers Radio. That is actually the name of our like page. So, you know, there's definitely somebody that's going to get to you. Also, look out for the like page for this video that's going to be coming to Facebook real soon. It's going to be called NBA Clutch Time. So be on the lookout for that as well. I always reply back, you know, to people who reach out regarding any questions towards the show, towards the group, or even our content. So with that being said, there's going to be more opportunities of things to come. And, you know, big changes that's going to be coming soon. But nonetheless, I'm, you know, we're definitely making sure that we're, you know, sticking to our guns, sticking to our guts, and, you know, trying to push out content to you guys. So once again, much love, and everybody have a strong, safe night. All right, take care.